This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Hello and welcome to our Valentine's special Take Care On Air. It's love with a twist today, isn't it, Crusader?
It is. I've even got my love hate t-shirt.
Oh, he does too. Yes. It's so cute.
Love hate Valentine's Day.
Look, I love Valentine's Day, so it's going to be a bit like one of those episodes of Margaret Pomerantz and What's-His-Name, where we're going to disagree with each other. I always say the more love there is, the more love there is.
I'm definitely Margaret.
Okay, I'll be What's-His-Name.
David.
Exactly. Today on the show, we'll be talking quite a few things, but among them, sexual practices across generations X and Y.
And we're going to be going to an alternative VD party, or a Valentine's Day party, if you like it. And in fact, they're on my side. They hate Valentine's Day too.
I know. And in fact,
it's an American thing.
I changed that word because you had written anti-Valentine's Day and I couldn't face it. So I put alternate, the other Valentine's Day party. Anyway, and of course, lots more.
But first up, we've got Y Gender. We've got Sim Kennedy on the line. And Y Gender is an activist and social group for young trans and genderqueer people to meet and share ideas. And it was set up in late 2010. And before that, there really wasn't anything for young trans people. These people are not very well looked after by the existing youth groups.
Yep.
Even though they might be welcome, it doesn't really actually have the expertise that something like Y Gender has. So welcome to Take Care On Air, Sim.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. You're talking to Kath Duncan and Chris Ada.
Hello there. Hey, Sim, first, could you tell us how you got involved in Y Gender?
It was 2010 and I went to some community groups and was sitting in my uni course. I'd just begun my own gender transition and also I was in my first year of my youth work degree. And something we learn about in the course is, you know, different communities and marginalized communities and social issues. And when we talked about the same-sex attracted community, often in the acronym GLBTIQ, there wasn't really much going on to do with gender diverse stuff.
Yep.
So I went out there and did my own research about what was out there. And after leaving the community for a couple of years, after doing a lot of voluntary work in the with same-sex attracted young people, like voluntary work through minus 18 and stuff,
yep.
I came along and we set up a youth group for transgender young people and gender diverse young people.
And so, Sim, you were obviously one of the people that set it all up, and you gave us a really good reason as to why that happened. Are you finding that since you've set it up that there seems to be sort of starting to get a better recognition of particularly gender questioning and sex diverse and gender diverse young people?
Yeah, I think that it's created a large network and other groups just know where to find people to start learning more about this stuff just by talking to people about their personal experiences, find out more about resources and things like that. So it's really created a lot more opportunities and ways for young people to meet each other who are going through the same thing.
And from a personal point of view, do you think it's actually more difficult, similar challenges or whatever, being a same-sex attracted person than being a gender-diverse person? What in terms of youth, did you find out much about the sorts of challenges, issues and risks that are facing those different groups?
A lot of things are similar. For example, reactions from family when coming out. But when it comes to physically transitioning your sex from male to female or female to male, there's a lot more difficulties. Specifically to being young people, we haven't had the time to work heaps and raise money and save money.
Yeah, good point.
And it's very expensive to go about your physical transition. in all over the world, basically. There's some places that there's more assistance, but nothing's covered by Medicare, or not even accepted in public hospitals.
That's pretty hard.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Can you tell us about some of the events that Y-Gender has on every month?
Well, we do a range of things. Basically, we've got several young people on our committee and organising the events each month. We do a social event, a discussion group, project space where we're creating resources. Yeah, we meet about four times every month.
And how do people find out how to get involved in Y-Gender?
Just go to ygender.com and
email. So that's just Y-G-N-D-E-R. Very simple.
Yeah, very straightforward.
Yeah.
So, Sim, what are you looking forward to for the year? Any big parties coming up?
Yeah, last year we organised an event for Transgender Day of Remembrance in November.
Oh, what a cool idea.
Yeah, heaps of people came along and it was really respectful and to gather on that day. And late November this year we plan on doing another big event for it, but before then we hope to do other things like art exhibitions where the wider community can come along, and yeah, just heaps of things up there. Every couple of months we do something bigger besides our monthly program.
Now, Sim, I don't know if you've been following the Age newspaper lately, but recently there was an article which mostly quoted the lecturer Sheila Jeffries about the industry of transgenderism. But it was talking about a lot of the younger people, you know, we're talking about prepubescent in some cases, kids who have pretty much lived in the opposite gender their whole childhood, with the support of their families. And what's happening is that with some of these children, they're actually being given hormone blockers so that they don't start developing the, you know, the sex characteristics of the body that they don't feel comfortable in it. Have you been following that stuff very much?
I haven't even met anyone personally who's been on the puberty blockers. With our group, it's mostly people aged 16 to 30, but I will be meeting people who are children who are transsexual and transgender next week, actually, because there's a new group for parents and families of children who realise a lot earlier.
And look, some of these children from the age of 7 and 8 have been allowed to live within the gender of what the one they feel most comfortable in. That's a very big change. Although, look, you know, I have to say almost 15 years ago I interviewed a family where that was the case at a Steiner school where they had a son who saw herself as a daughter, and they just completely, the whole family, including her brothers, just basically allowed her to express herself as that. And the school she went to, the Steiner School in Richmond, also allowed that. So it's certainly not new, but it must be actually quite good to be thinking that there's a lot more people out there who are willing to take a stand for the kids on these issues.
Yeah, it's great to see so many supportive families when you do hear in the media about people realising their gender identity during childhood.
Mm, yeah. And was it for you, did you have sort of early signs of recognising your gender identity in childhood?
Me personally, I was between the ages of 7 and 9 and saying things like, oh, I'm in the wrong body, and family just said it's not really an option. And I was the sort of person who didn't want to upset anyone else's feelings, so I just put up with it and didn't think it was an option either. But then when I was over 18 and everything, I made the decision, and yeah, I've transitioned a lot since then.
Well, it's a brave thing to do at any time in your life, so congratulations, Sim. And if people want to get in touch with Y-Gender and start getting involved in the event, and listen, you don't get funding, so anyone out there wants to donate something as well, go to ygender.com.
Thanks, Sim.
Thanks a lot. Sim Kennedy there from Y-Gender. You're with Take Care on Air on Joy 94.9. If you'd like to make a comment about the show or, you know, ask a question, do email us onair@joy.org.au. Stay tuned because in just a moment we're going to be talking TROF. I can't wait.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Well, it is that special day today, whether you celebrate it or not. But we do have a tip. If you're feeling unloved today and tonight, don't stay home alone, depressed that you're dressed and not getting depressed. It really is time to party at the other, or as some people put it, the anti-Valentine's Day event, VD, back due to popular demand and an increase in viral activity. The party's run by Ms. Erin Tasmania and Letha Locklear, love that name, and don't forget, VD is for everybody. And we're joined by Erin.
I've got the lowdown for you.
Hey, Erin. Thanks for joining us. Tell us about the party tonight.
Yes, we have. It's called Happy VD. You know, on Valentine's Day, it can be a bit lonely if you're single, or there's all this pressure to be in love in a particular kind of way that involves chocolates and roses. And we just thought we'd do something a bit different and celebrate actual VD.
Okay. So tell us some of the other things that are on. Speed hating just sort of cracks me up. What else is happening?
Speed hating, we've got a special game called Perfect Snatch. We've been giving away STDs and condoms. We've got labels for people when they walk in, they can pick. They want to be gonorrhea or syphilis or clap or weird-looking colds or... it's a lovely way to meet other people, you know, if they've got the same affliction.
That's right.
So and we'll be doing
a mix and match.
What's that?
You can mix and match your diseases.
Exactly. Or swap them around.
Where did this crazy idea come from?
Out of desperation, I think.
Can I ask you now, here we are, we're going hard on the anti-Valentine's Day, but, you know, are you in love with anyone?
I'm in love with lots of people, but not necessarily in the particular romantic way.
Oh, perfect
answer.
I love
loads of people.
Yes, I think that the more love there is, the more love there is for everybody, really.
And yeah, that's right.
It's all happening at the Fox Hotel.
That's right, on Wellington Street. And we'll be doing a raffle. We've got some great prizes from Hares and Hyenas and the Also Foundation and Living Burrito Loco, some fantastic prizes. And we're raising money for a volunteer program that I've worked for years, which is an after-school care program for kids in Collingwood. And
what are they called again?
It's called Livewires.
And Livewires has just been defunded, hasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Which is a bit
mean. It's a great program.
Yeah.
There's an event called 5 in 5, which started last year, and that's where you go on 5 dates in 5 weeks to raise money for local charity, and people have... there's still time to take part in that. And we'll be giving the money to the 5 in 5, which then go to Livewires.
Oh, fantastic.
Why did they have their funding cut? Do you know that or not?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all.
I mean, I would have thought in an area like that with lots of working people that after-school care was kind of fairly important, really.
And the housing commission.
Yeah, well, it's a great program and it's a lot of fun too. I really enjoy going down. I'll be there with the kids this afternoon and loads of really enthusiastic volunteers that are taking part there.
Hey, talking to your friends, do you really think there are people who feel like particularly unloved and lonely today?
I think it does. It does bring it to a head. I mean, all the advertising and that sort of thing. You can't not think about it.
Mm. And do you mean if you don't have like an intimate partner as opposed to, you know, love in your life?
Yeah. Well, I suppose maybe if you've just broken up or if all of your friends are going out on romantic dates and you're not, that sort of thing.
Oh.
Now, look, there's also going to be a debut gig of an all-girl, five-piece, harmony-singing, dolly-alike, punk,
bluegrass
band.
Punk.
Yeah. So tell us about them.
Sugar Puss. Well, a couple of them are friends of mine. Fantastic costumes. The girls all play different instruments and then all sing. So we've got beautiful five-part harmonies. And I think most of the songs are originals, but they've got a couple of Dolly covers in there, of course. And, I'm really, really, really interested to see what they're like.
And are you emceeing?
Yeah, I'll be running around, emceeing with Megan Palmer, Letha Locklear, who organises Danceteria parties.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good credentials
good
for
game.
Doing it. Yeah, no, it sounds good. Look, what time does the fun kick off at the Fox?
We're kicking
tonight?
Off about 7 or 8.
And what time are you running to?
9. Till 1.
Oh, wow. Well,
a late night.
You get all the way through Valentine's Day.
There's the excuse to not go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. It's a good excuse, isn't it?
That's right. You can say that you were just like sad at home, but you weren't really. You were out
and
partying.
And that was for charity, helping the kids.
And look, beyond all that, there are going to be things like safe sex packs and stuff there. There's a
serious
message behind all the fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, obviously, you know, spread VD is not really the goal that we've got in mind, but it is lighthearted and,
Fantastic.
And you're encouraging people to go off and use, you know, I really think you should be encouraging people to use those safe sex packs on the night just to feel a little better.
Well, maybe we should give it this some demos.
Oh, what a good idea. And like all the jokes about, you know, disease and spreading it and all this and that and the other, are you going to kind of hit them hard in your MC role?
I think we'll be raising that. I think we'll, I don't know if that's really my field of expertise, but it'll definitely, it's the point of the whole evening.
I think you should work it, you know, work the theme.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been discussing love and anti-love here. I'm a bit of a love freak. Crusader's enjoying being cynical. You know.
Yeah, he can do that safe within the bounds of his 30-year relationship.
Thank you. I didn't want to say.
I'm not saying anything.
That's probably better, Crusader.
Well done, Erin. The check is in the mail.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, thanks for that. And people wanting to get more info, where would they go? Hey.
Just turn up at the Fox tonight.
Facebook. Oh, it's on Facebook.
Come on down, of course it is, you know.
Hey, just one last thing, the Wheel of Fortune. Have I said that right?
That's right. I've got to talk to Leather Locklear about that. I'm not sure what that involves. I hope it's not me being strapped up to a wheel.
I don't know. It seems to be something about music. It says name the slutty songs.
Oh, okay. That's what she's got in mind. All right.
Ah, well, it's going to be a surprise for not just us, not just the participants. So then again, you know, if you want to go and happy VD it up tonight, I'm very tempted to go myself, actually. Fox
come
Hotel.
And spread it.
No longer be single and dateless. Is that the right word? Or dateless and
you
desperate?
You can be in a couple and come,
Yeah, why not?
We'll go take threesomes as well, you know. It's a perfect place for threesomes to celebrate VD.
Oh, well, exactly. Crusader will bear that in mind. Okay, thanks a lot for talking to us, Erin. Erin Tasmania there.
Okay, see you guys later.
Look, how can you resist, really? You know, unless you're dead tonight, really. You've got no excuse but to go. Coming up in just a moment, have we found the trough yet?
Joy 94.9.
Oh, look, I'm very excited every time I see a new trough poster. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it just kills me. And they've become, the trough faggot parties have become legendary in Melbourne. As much for those amazing posters and artwork as for the parties themselves. Now, a little while back, the Trough Party morphed into the Trough X Party, a men-only dance party held at Club 80. And it's a well-known sex-on-premises venue for the more sexually adventurous men in our community. And we're joined by Trough X Party co-creator, Nick Dimopoulos.
You got that right.
I did. Yeah. Amazing. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, can you tell us how did these parties start?
Long time ago. Actually, 2005 is where it all started as Trough Faggot Party with myself and other co-founder, Timothy Moore. And it literally was a conversation we just once had just over the phone saying, hey, we should just try doing a one-off party involving friends of ours, DJ friends of ours that weren't really sort of playing much around, particularly in the gay clubs and bars. And that just, this one-off turned into a monster, actually.
I really like the name. I think Trough is like
a totally attractive
name. It sort of plays on a whole lot of different feelings about, you know.
The name worked for and against us in a way because people obviously thought...
they were often disappointed when they turned up.
The funny thing, the first few, there were a few rocking up all ready to go for...
A water sport night.
How do I put it delicately? And they're instead walking into like a kind of crazy dance party and
with lots of rain
they got in, they got involved though. Eventually, they had fun. We kind of almost liked that confusion. You know, like what is in a name exactly? We always sort of said it was a trough is a place where men get together and or congregate.
It's perfect.
It's
yeah.
perfect. Yeah. Yes.
So
that sort of became then the concept for the promotion material at the time, which was, exploring the theme of water sports, but taking it very, very broadly and loosely, and that could be into drinking water or sweating or anything to do with...
Sure, Nick.
It was very soft, actually, very soft. Maybe there was one fly that was taken to a literal point. But, we like to have fun with that and Hopefully people will realise very quickly we weren't being so serious about it. And that's the one thing that we like to kind of carry through in a lot of our work is, not to be too serious and bring some humour back into...
Is it true, though, that the artwork behind the parties is more important to you in some ways?
Well, it's not so much more important, but...
for the posters.
The party is sort of, I guess, the vehicle, and then where it goes from there is kind of more interesting in a way, you know. And my background is graphic designer, art director, and for many years I've been producing promotion material. So it was like it was something I could kind of have complete control over and go...
Oh, are you like a casting couch type photographer?
Yes. Well, myself and John, who John Salvis, who I work with on these wonderful, amazing, crazy campaigns.
So, how do you select the gorgeous hunks that go on the posters?
Well, a lot of times it's actually the guys that attend the party. But then also between myself and John, there is a network there of friends and Facebook's very helpful.
A stable.
Too. Facebook.
Facebook is very helpful.
It's become the new...
Having the parties now in a sex on premises venue, that must have shifted from the sort of like bit of a taking the sit on the whole trough idea to now actually sort of like...
Yeah, that was even harder.
How has the crowd sort of responded to that?
Look, very well. I mean... There are those that know exactly what Club 80 is, and knowing that it's a dance party broadens the whole experience of
It's a really good way to experience Club 80.
Absolutely. I mean, there is this whole young generation that have no idea
and would never ever go.
I mean, these days there's no need, I guess, to with Grindr and Manhunt, everything's online, hooking up wise, and I guess the younger generation wouldn't need to kind of attend a space like Club 80
it is a completely different sexual experience.
We're
talking about that. It's very impossible to categorise people's sexuality and things like that by age group and everything else. What are you noticing about sort of like, you know, Gen X and Gen Y in terms of the differences potentially of the sort of like the older gens
in terms of
sex and sexuality and the way they congregate even sexually?
Well, like I was just saying, in these days it's a lot, I guess, easier to just hook up via your iPhone. And these spaces like such as Club 80, even the saunas, it's, I guess for a lot of them, it's like, why pay that entry fee, you know, where I could just hook up with someone.
But isn't half the fun the voyeurism and the big...
Well, I would think so, yeah. I mean, for me, it's the surprise element, and it's also a lot more immediate in a way than trying to hook up via your Grindr, etc. So it's actually like turning up and knowing what's there, and then that's part of the fun is the chase, I guess.
How do you run sort of parties like that, you know, responsibly in terms of, you know, safer sex and people taking care of each other in terms of, you know, substance use and all the rest? Well, how does all that work?
I mean, the club itself, Club 80, does heavily promote all of this. I mean, if you just walk through the entire venue itself, there's some very, very heavy promotion about safe sex, and pretty much as soon as you enter, there's enough information there. But in terms of the party itself, it is not a sex party; it is a dance party. I'm sorry.
It's a little bit of both, though.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, the venue itself opens up that possibility, mainly upstairs, but the dance space itself is the basement, and it is that a great fun dance party.
Have you ever thought about letting women in to watch?
I would love to invite women. Unfortunately, the men only policies come from the venue, not from us, the promoter. Yes, it is. This is their license.
I'd pay
policy.
A bit to watch.
If I could, I would definitely smuggle in girls, because I know so many girls who...
Why the old Nick?
Yes.
I could drag her, couldn't I?
Be big trouble.
Potentially.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the whole men-only policy really only came from the venue itself having that license, the men only license. So otherwise, the Trofaker parties was always open to men and women, even though, of course, through the promotion, it was leaning heavily towards men. Yeah. So,
interestingly, a lot of the stuff that you've been doing, and I know you're saying that the party and the artwork is equally important.
Yes.
But it does seem like you and John have really developed an amazing canon of work, if you want to call it. I mean, it's even had a...
that's right, an exhibition.
There's an exhibition coming up.
And for Mardi Gras,
plug
isn't
here.
It?
Yes,
and
it's
Dr.
Next.
Christopher Chapman from the curator of the National Portrait Gallery.
Yes.
Says that your expressionistic photographs, yours and John's, exploring contemporary masculinity and queer identity, are coolly cerebral in their layered symbolism and controlled choreography.
Goodness.
And equally hot in the febrile skin sensitivity they strongly evoke.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's
it's
pretty
worked
high
for him.
Price.
Yeah.
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 It's a fairly sort of like a long-winded way of saying these photos really
make me hot.
Me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's great to kind of hear people's description and response to a lot of the work. Mm. A lot of time, John and I just produce this work. I mean, there's always an initial concept stage, but then it evolves a lot, and especially on the day of the shoot, it almost becomes performative. You know,
I
and
bet.
things just evolve, and it's kind of great to look back at things and saying, how did this happen or this particular shot? And sometimes it's
well, they're like tapestries of shots in lots of ways. They're like sort of, you know, there's a whole lot of montage of bodies and different things. And it seems like you pick certain objects, like I'm not sure, it was a hospital type thing last time, wasn't it? With melons of all sorts.
Yeah, like I guess you'd call it healing wear, you know, which...
Well, it looked like medical fetish wear.
Well, yes, it does open up to that whole... And there is a whole genre of medical fetish.
There is.
Yes, and it was great to kind of play with that because a lot of people were very confused where that was coming from because they are all based on... the hangi codes, which are symbolic of very different kinds of fetishes, and the more absurd they are, the more I relish in them. I think they're just such a great
place. How do they relate to the hangi codes?
The beige? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
In general, and the beige one, obviously.
Yeah. Well, look, I guess that's what I start with as the first rule of how we're going to approach this shoot. So, so there's already a guideline of what. Where the themes we're working with. And from there, I almost create new ones because it veers into other areas and then almost I'm creating a whole new code out of that. And I mean, the beige one was just one particular fetish, which is rimming. But I just took that further by looking at the whole colour beige and the obvious one being skin and nude and flesh. Yeah. And that just sort of evolved into the whole medical theme. And
now that exhibition, that's in Sydney. Are we ever going to see a big exhibition of trophy things in Melbourne?
There was one for Midsummer a year ago.
I think it's time to haul that again.
Well, it was actually time for Sydney to see this because Melbourne has the actual party and they get to kind of experience
the posters all over town as
for,
well.
Yeah, well, not for the next.
No, but I mean they've had that experience.
Yeah,
been
absolutely. So this is dropping
Mardi
a bomb
Gras,
on them, which is great.
Mardi Gras festival.
Yeah, it's part
exhibition.
Of Mardi Gras. Yes,
of course.
And it's next Thursday is the opening.
23rd of February.
You should go up there, Nick.
Gallery.
You'll be beating them off with a stick.
I'm up there.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
I'm up there almost a week before just to prepare, set up.
Prepare yourself and the exhibition.
There'll be some surprises there.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be your ordinary straight photography show, so there's
fantastic.
A few more.
I can't imagine you making the straight photography show.
No.
Yeah, no.
I just can't deal with that.
So it's at Gallery Gaffer at 281 Clarence Street. All the details will be on the Mardi Gras website.
Yes, it's been
so if you're going up, check it out.
Definitely.
Please do. Mm.
And thanks very much to Nick Demopoulos for coming into the studio today.
You're welcome.
Love your work.
Oh, you. I'm blushing.
Oh, good. You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
That's pretty much wraps us up for the day here on Take Care On Air, doesn't it, Crusader?
It does indeed. People are looking for something to do on Valentine's Day and they're feeling a little bit either cynical or desperate or dateless.
Or you can just come round and see me or go to a party.
That's right. So go down to the Fox and support a really good cause.
That's right. Have some fun and put your money in a good place. Well, we'll see you again next week. I'd like to say thanks to our fabulous panel op, Gazza, who's always there and always doing the right thing, unlike us sometimes. Never mind. Stay with Joy. Fabulous music coming up this afternoon, and we'll see you again here, same time, same place, next week.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub, and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.